the Boston Celtics force a game 7 on what was basically one of the best postseason plays in NBA history by Derek White. And they wind up bringing the thing back to Boston. And, you know, the game was a game that normally the Celtics lose. They didn't really shoot well. I think they were 7 for 35 from 3. Didn't shoot the ball well really at all. Third quarter, they were in the bonus for the last 8 minutes. But they stayed composed. I mean, they tried to give the game away. I mean, not literally, of course, but, I mean, there's no question that, you know, had they lost the game, they would have pointed to a lot of missed opportunities. But you have to give them credit. They pulled it out. And I knew game 6 would be close. I mean, I said as much on here that, you know, Miami was going to definitely try to play their best game. Now, Jimmy shoots 5 for 21, 5 for 22. I forget which one it is. You know, to me, let me rewind back to him getting fouled on the 3 free throws. To me, no matter what happens, Miami wins or the Celtics win, Al Horford was about to be the biggest GOAT and not the greatest of all time GOAT, the other GOAT, the one that is on the lam, the terrible play. You can't foul Jimmy in that situation. If he hits it with your hands up, you shake his hand, you walk away. You can't foul him in that situation. So this game almost took a turn for the worse because Jimmy did turn it on late. He was definitely exaggerating some calls. But at the end of the day, the Celtics made that one little play with 0.1 seconds left that needed to be made. And if you're Miami, you know, it's interesting. I had detailed what I would have done. They didn't decide to go that way. Yeah, they didn't decide to go that way, but the interesting part for them is that they had several chances to win the game, too, even before Jimmy hitting the 3 free throws. Duncan Robinson, mainly the catalyst for missing the 2 wide open threes. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, pressure. What pressure does to us in the biggest of moments, right? Here's a guy who was hitting his threes. But sometimes that weight is huge, right? Because the three that he would have hit, either one of those would probably have sealed the game. That's a different kind of shot, though. Even if you are wide open. You know, and obviously if he hits them, we're talking about, man, the Celtics had a defensive lapse, but he didn't. He didn't. And here we are talking about a game 7 that really never should have happened. I mean, both teams can look at it and say we didn't play our best and we either, you know, if you're Miami, Jimmy shoots 5 for 22. Bam was equally awful. I don't know what the numbers were. Four for 16. I mean, oh my God. Like, Gabe Vincent was 6 for 18. They can all look at it and say, we did not play our best game and we still only lost because of 0.1 seconds. Right, our best players didn't play our best. And then the Celtics can look at it and say, we couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo, right? We had not too many turnovers, only 12 turnovers. But overall, did we play a good game, right? Did we play a great game? And the answer is, I mean, you could say yes or no, because you won, right? You did enough to win, and that's the real point, right? So they deserve a lot of credit. There's no question. They did enough. But as Game 7 looms, I think both teams are optimistic. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like I originally thought because of the way this game finished. You know, and I expect, I mean, it's not, this isn't going to be like Game 7 of the Sixers-Celtics, or maybe the first half when it was close, but I think it's going to be close throughout. It's going to come down to that fourth quarter. And to me, the Celtics being at home, I think that's going to be the ultimate swing. I really do. I think that the Celtics are probably going to wind up winning by like somewhere between 5 and 8 because of free throws. But I think it's going to be a close game, and I think the Celtics are going to pull it out. I expect Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to not be denied in the closing moments of the fourth quarter. You know, the thing about them is they're going to draw attention. If you take a look at the closing possessions of Miami in the fourth quarter, I like the way Boston defended Jimmy Butler. They were basically saying, listen, we're not going to help. If you're going to beat Jason Tatum, you're going to beat him. If you're going to beat Rob Williams, you're going to beat him. You're going to beat Al Horford, you're going to beat him. But we're not helping. We're not going to give up an open three-point shot, because that's how they, you know, that's how Duncan Robinson got open. And I think in the fourth quarter of Game 7, that's how it's going to be. They're going to let him go. And if he scores, he scores. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But on the other end, that's the difference. The difference is if Jason Tatum gets to the paint, they're going to help. If Jaylen Brown gets they're going to help. And there's going to be opportunities for guys like Derek White, like Marcus Smart, right? That's their closing lineup now, you know? So you have to give them a ton of credit, Boston. I mean, I said they would come back, and they have. Obviously, a thinness of margins in Game 6, but it's going to be interesting to see how Game 7 unfolds, you know? Miami has to be very careful early, because it's going to be – that crowd is going to be going nuts. And if Boston gets out to a good start, if they're starting to hit their threes early, watch out. You know, at the end of the day, I just think Boston has the best player, right? Even as inconsistent as he is, they don't have an answer for him. You know, so look, we're going to see guys get chances to redeem themselves. Everybody's going to try to come with their best game. I think it's great. It's great for sports. It's great for everybody, you know? So anyway, guys, it's a short one today. I appreciate you guys listening. Be sure to like, and I will see you next time.